We all deserve some yay in our day. So say hello to Hello. Hello makes oral and personal care products that add wonder to your routine, like a toothpaste that makes brushing fun for kids. It's called Unicorn Sparkle Toothpaste. It tastes like rainbows and sunshine, works brilliantly, and it's fun. So it's pretty much magic. And for the adults, Hello Anti-Plaque and Whitening Toothpaste, which is just as good without the unicorns. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Svetlana Lakova, the historian, author of The Spy Who Changed History, the untold story of how the Soviet Union stole America's top secrets. Svetlana Lakova is also part of the large story known as Russiagate, and we are investigating a chronology that begins in the summer of 2016 in the FBI-named investigation called Crossfire Hurricane. It is now April of 2017. The Trump administration in Washington, Michael Flynn, momentarily the national security advisor, resigns in early February. However, on April 1st, 2017, the Guardian newspaper, a distinguished publication in Great Britain, Svetlana is a British citizen, born in Russia, a British citizen. The Guardian newspaper runs this headline: Michael Flynn, new evidence spy chiefs had concerns about Russia ties. Subhead: U.S. and U.K. officials were troubled by Moscow contacts and encounter with woman linked to Russian spy agency records. First paragraph: U.S. intelligence officials had serious concerns about Michael Flynn's appointment as the White House National Security Advisor because of his history of contacts with Moscow and his encounter with a woman who had trusted access to Russian spy agency records. The Guardian has learned. Svetlana, a very good evening to you. You are that woman, and your contact with Russian spy agency records is important enough to The Guardian to put it in the first page, a first paragraph. We go down farther in the story, and suddenly not only Russian spy records, but GRU records in Moscow or elsewhere the archives are kept. First, because you are an historian of Russian secret services and state security, what is the GRU? Good evening to you, Svetlana.
Good evening, John. The GRU, which is Glavne razvedne upravlenie, which is the chief intelligence directorate, is Russian for, Russian abbreviation for, in effect, military intelligence. So that would be the equivalent of the Defense Intelligence, Agency in the United States.
So the Guardian is linking you not only to archives of the GRU, but to the GRU itself. You read this story on April 1st, 2017, having been through the turmoil of the preceding months, when you are pointed to or named or indicated involved in some fashion in this scandal called Russiagate. Heretofore, you have refuted each new inquiry from reporters, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The Guardian newspaper, and The Washington Post. And having thought all of your answers were adequate, having conveyed your information, having denied all the allegations that you are in any fashion linked to the Kremlin or state security, now this article restates everything. Can you recover what you thought when you read this article, naming you, naming your access to the GRU, and suggesting that you are GRU linked? What do you remember about what you thought?
So it comes out on April 1st. We should think it's a April Fool's day, but it wasn't for me because, you know, The Guardian is a very respected newspaper in the United Kingdom. It's a lefty newspaper, but, you know, people read it. And I'm on the front page. And you know, originally when the accusations came out about me being some kind of Russian spy, I sort of laughed about it, right? But at this point, it was no longer funny because I realized that not only there's some kind of campaign happening, because this is the fourth newspaper that, you know, approached me and, between the US and the UK, but also the fact that the allegations were on one level were getting crazier and crazier, but on the other hand, were getting more and more serious.
We read in the story about you. A historian and a leading expert on Soviet espionage, Lakova has claimed to have unique access to previously classified Soviet era material in Moscow. She says her forthcoming book, and I've named that book, you can all buy it anytime you want. It's an extremely helpful story about how Stalin invested his spy agencies into America, MIT in particular, to transfer technology about airplanes in particular, but all technology, all through the 1930s into the Second War. It's part of the story of the 20th century and the Cold War, the background for it. But that's what Svetlana published, and that's what you can read today. However, this Guardian piece has not seen a manuscript, a book in the stores. The book is still in manuscript. And they go on to say, Lakova says her forthcoming book makes groundbreaking revelations about Soviet military intelligence operations run by the GRU, Russia's military spy agency. It goes on to say, Western historians say access to intelligence agency records in Moscow has been severely restricted under Vladimir Putin. One Russian historian who has written extensively on Russian intelligence said the situation with the GRU was a complete disaster. Svetlana, you know a great deal more now than you did in 2017 about these allegations. At the time you read those paragraphs, did you understand that they were linking you not only to the GRU, but to Vladimir Putin? Did you see that immediately?
At that point, yes. But the horrible thing is that when they contacted me prior to the publication, they never put the allegations to me. So, of course, had they put to me the allegation that I'm somehow connected to Russian military intelligence or Putin or any intelligence, I would have, of course, absolutely said no way. And that would have been the end of it. But they did not put the allegations to me. So I was contacted by the journalist prior to the publication, and they just asked me about General Flynn and whether it was correct for President Trump or President-elect Trump to install him as National Security Advisor. And I said, well, maybe you should address this question to President-elect Trump. Well, by that stage, of course, president. And secondly, they asked me about any contact I had with General Flynn, and I gave them a standard response, which is a truthful response, which is that I only met him once in 2014, and that's it. So there was never presented to me any questions about any connection with Russian intelligence, Russian military intelligence archive, or indeed Vladimir Putin, which I, of course, would have refuted. So when I read this newspaper, on one level, it looked, you know, fantastical, nuts, crazy, surreal. On the other level, I realized that something really, really serious is going on. There's something bad happening, but I just didn't know precisely the scale.
Let's talk about GRU archives. You're at Cambridge University, to my understanding, because Cambridge has developed quite a library archive of Russian intelligence documents, perhaps because of the famous Cambridge Five, perhaps just because they were offered this. And how did you work at Cambridge to compile the material for your book?
So the story goes slightly a long way back. So in 1998, I was an undergraduate at Cambridge University, and my supervisor was Professor Christopher Andrew, who was a historian of intelligence services. And in 1998, he suggested that I look at some of the newly declassified, so after Soviet Union collapsed, some of the archives, not intelligence archives, but some of the regular archives, became declassified. And in 1998, he suggested that I look at those archives. And I looked at them, and any publicly available material I photocopied. And then later on, in about 2010, I believe, a lot of this stuff actually got scanned on onto the internet with the help of the Yale University. And just to repeat, whilst the access to the intelligence archives are indeed restricted, and that's the same, of course, world over, which is the CIA or the MI6, or the DIA or any other, you know, organizations like that. They, of course, keep their secrets and they only publish, you know, what they want to publish. But that's, of course, is not the same with the, you know, regular archives. You know, normally any person can go and access them. So I had, accessed archives, which were publicly available, which is why, you know, the, helpful, unhelpful for the people who are trying to put this article out, quotes in the story, is that they say previously classified documents. Previously classified means declassified. Declassified means publicly available. So this was a combination of me getting our access to the Russian archives that have been declassified, and later on scanned on onto the internet, and the archives which are at University of Cambridge, and the FBI files that have been declassified.
The article goes on to indicate, suggest, that you had access to material that other historians don't have access to. The material that is assembled in your book, I've read your book, I've looked at your footnotes. I don't see the word classified anywhere. Did you have access to classified material?
Absolutely not.
And did the Guardian know that at the time? Did they ask, did your book, is the book you're writing, is it made up of classified material from GRU? Did the Guardian inquire?
No.
Well, it's quite fantastic then. I agree with you. It's fantastical. Now, why does this matter? At the time, there's fog of state security. We don't know, but there's an investigation in some fashion of General Flynn and his links with Russia. And Svetlana is, in general at this point, if you're just reading the newspapers, linked to General Flynn, who has resigned in early February. The inquiry of all of this that we know as Russiagate won't begin until May, so this is an in-between period. After this article is published, did you contact The Guardian? Did you have correspondence with The Guardian about this article and say that it was false, restate that it was false?
Correct. So I got in touch with both the journalist who wrote the article and the second journalist who wrote the article and the general counsel. And because the replies were not satisfactory, they basically refused to respond and they were hiding. I took legal action. So I hired lawyers, and we issued legal proceedings.
Christopher Andrews mentioned this story. He's your mentor. You mentioned how he introduced you to the idea of being an historian of these declassified documents as a late 20th century. What did he make of this story? He's mentioned in the story.
So he sent me after the event his correspondence with Luke Harding, who is the main person on the article. And he said to him that he has seen my material because, of course, as my mentor, as my supervisor, I submitted all of the material to him. And he can confirm that there is no question about special access. So in terms of the specific allegation about special access, he completely refuted it through his own experience because he's seen the same documents that I've seen. However, Christopher Andrews' role in this whole story is pretty bad because only a few weeks before this article, he published his own, hit piece on General Flynn.
He is writing about General Flynn. You are collateral to the ongoing investigation of General Flynn. We at this point, no one can know that status because it hasn't reached the level of a special inquiry, special counsel. However, I want to restate, make sure I understand everything. From the winter of 2014, you're invited with your mentor and other leading authorities at Cambridge University, Pembroke College, including Sir Richard Dearlove, retired MI6, and Christopher Andrew. You're invited to a dinner in which General Flynn is the special guest. At the close of that dinner, you're invited to show General Flynn from your iPad a postcard that Joseph Stalin, Djugashvili, was associated with when he was in hiding in Siberia. It had to do with his correspondence with people who helped him get out of the fix that he was in. You showed that to General Flynn. He was entertained, as everyone is, by a document with Djugashvili, Stalin, in his underground days. And you leave with your now husband, David North. You leave. And that is the only time you ever spent a moment with General Flynn in your life to date. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. And that incident, now 3 years later, 2.5 years later, that incident is one of the building blocks that is used to associate you with the GRU. Is that how to read this?
Well, correct. So it's precisely three years, you're right, John, to the day, because the dinner with General Flynn took place on February 28, 2014, and the article is April 2017. If you look at the bottom of the article, after I issued legal proceedings, the Guardian edits at the bottom of the article. We wish to make it clear for the avoidance of doubt that there is no suggestion that Lukova has ever worked with or for any of the Russian intelligence agencies. So they know the truth, but for some reason, this is what they publish.
And that correction was put in after April 1st, that year, that summer. Since the Guardian published this story, the BBC published an interview with Svetlana Lukova, which is available here. There's a link, in which she gave her account of the contact she had with Michael Flynn. Her lawyers have also subsequently informed us that she does not have privileged access to any Russian intelligence archive. We also wish to make clear, for the avoidance of doubt, that there is no suggestion that Lukova has ever worked with or for any of the Russian intelligence agencies. That was published later on that year. And so as of April 1st, 2017, I want to get this list correct, you're linked with a now disgraced general, a decorated war hero general of the United States Army who was previously the director of this Defense Intelligence Agency and was previously the National Security Advisor for the Trump administration. You're also linked with the GRU and with Vladimir Putin as of April 1st. Is that all correct?
Correct.
One more thing about your book. It's a wonderful book. It tells the story of Stalin sending young men who were heroes at the time, but then pretend to be graduate students. Well, there are good graduate students at MIT and other distinguished American universities. When you put that together, did you ever imagine that you would be linked to those men, Svetlana? Was that in your imagination as an historian?
Absolutely not. For me, history is something which is, beautiful, relaxing, is somewhere where you go into the past and you uncover this amazing histories, whether you look at Roman history or the history of, early 20th century. So absolutely, I had no premonition at all that somehow that would be somehow used to link me anything. It's the same way that, if you're an actor, let's say you're playing a role of a spy, or you're playing a role of, anyone really, right? And then people on the street somehow think you are that person. So, for example, the great actor who plays George Smiley in the John le Carré novels, a master spy, Alec Guinness is not George Smiley. So, it might in popular imagination, be that, but as a historian, as an author, of course you try and make things come alive. So I suppose I should be proud of, doing such a great work that, it's acknowledged in this article. But at the same time, of course, writing about things that's not equal, you being that person.
The hero or the protagonist of your book, Stanislav Shumovsky, was he GRU?
So he was KGB, as we now call it. At the time, it was something else. But another person in his class in the 1930s, from the same group, he was what later would have become JRU, and at that point, it was called the Fourth Department of the Red Army.
The Crossfire Hurricane Chronology with Svetlana Lukova, to be continued. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.